Gata, an opening the sutra. The Dharma incomparably profound and infinitely subtle is rarely encountered, even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
So this is Mumin Khan, case 24. The monk asks Fuketsu in all earnestness, both speech and silence are concerned with re and me. How can we transcend them? Fuketsu said, I constantly think of Konan and Marsh, where partridges are chirping among hundreds of fragrant blossoms. Mumin's commentary. Fuketsu's activity of mind is like lightning. He gains the road and immediately walks along. But why does he rest on the tip of the Ancient One's tongue and not cut it off? If you realize this deeply, a way will be found naturally. Just leave all words behind and say one phrase. The verse. I'll give you a couple of versions of the verse. Fuketsu does not speak in his usual style. So it's clear, when Fuketsu says, I think constantly of Konan and March, where partridges are chirping among hundreds of fragrant blossoms, he's quoting a poem. So Fuketsu does not speak in his usual style. Before he says anything, it's already manifested. If you go on chattering glibly, you should be ashamed of yourself. Another version of this. Without revealing his own penetration, he offered another's words, not his to give. Had he chattered on and on, even his listeners would have been embarrassed. Okay. So Fuketsu was the fourth generation descendant of Rinzai, Linchi. We're told that he had been a Confucian but had failed the civil service exam and turned to Buddhism. First to Tendai Buddhism, and then to Chan. Tendai was a form of Buddhism that took the Lotus Sutra as its main focus. And it has a ton of esoteric teachings and practices which are considered more important than the external practices, the exoteric practices. So he dropped that one. So I kind of love the fact that he flunked out as a Confucian and ended up with Zen, as Masun told us in the book that, as we read last Wednesday, the appeal of Taoism in China was that it was the opposite of Confucianism, which was rational, and Taoism is much more emphasizes the intuitive. And in some ways, that's what this talk is about. It's about that lightning. So Fuketsu shows up twice in the Blue Cliff record. In case 38, that case also addresses the paradox of not being able to express Zen in either speech or silence. I should backtrack and say what re and me are, you know. Both speech and silence are concerned with re and me. Re and me has tremendously complex explanations, but it really comes down to the inner and outer worlds. So, well, you know, what's subjectivity, what's objectivity? Or what's inside and what's outside? So that same issue of how do you say anything without splitting the world into inside or outside, is taken up in the Blue Cliff record, And Fuketsu is on the student side of a Dharma compound. A Dharma combat that goes on and on and on, and Fuketsu is just like a Roman candle full of metaphors. He's got metaphors coming out of his ears, and in fact, the Zen teacher says, "I got to get out of here," and he goes off to his cabin. And Fuketsu says, "No, we're not done yet. We can't quit this right now." He's got another 10 metaphors, and finally, the guy says, "Whew, you know." Okay, you got it. So in this case, when Fuketsu is borrowing the words of this poet, he's not failing as an original. The guy can really bust his own rhymes. Quoting someone was no abandonment of responsibility to come up with something original. The emphasis in this koan is more on the spontaneity of it. That's why Mumon says his mind works like lightning. The kind of spontaneity that we associate with Chow Chow, really, as maybe the quickest and the person who will take whatever's at hand, the piece of schmutz on the zabaton. But they're all this way. All these masters have that level of lightning quick response. Maybe not adorned with metaphor, but they've got it anyway. So, but I want to go back to the fact that Mumon raises this issue of it not being his own words. And one translation that I gave you captures this mock begrudgery that Mumon is so famous for. He offered another's words, not his to give. To our Western ears, that may sound like he failed to be original, which is an obsession in America. And in failing to be original, he failed to be himself. And in a matter of speaking, he plagiarized. So I'm a lit teacher, and I have lots of phrases in my head, and I need to be aware when I am spontaneously manifesting something and whether I am parroting or hiding in other people's words. It's an occupational hazard, and I'm not saying I negotiate it. I'm really interested in mindfulness. I'm truly fascinated by mindfulness, but you can see why I'm interested in mindfulness. Because I am so spotty. But in some way, deep inside me, I know the difference between BSing, or showing off, and when I'm speaking words that come from the deep not-mindness of the whole show. That's what's at issue here. When Fuketsu quotes the ancient poet, he's neither expressing re or me. He's not expressing the subjective or the object, but the fusion of the two as they show up in a poetic appreciation of spring in Kona. Poetry fuses in a particular way the re and me, the inner as outer, the outer as inner. The indistinguishable nature of the two. I think that's, he didn't just pick any verse, he picked a verse which speaks to that fusion. The poet says he is constantly visited, benignly possessed by images and memories of this, of spring in Conan. And Conan, not as spring, but Conan as partridges and flowers. And not as partridges and flowers, as spring. So Fuketsu responds instinctively to this challenge with a verse that evidently has possessed him. It comes up just like that. And the point is not whether Fuketsu is original, but that he spoke his heart mind like light. with no hesitation. I find this the most astonishing thing about koans in their radical being. It's the lightning quality of it. Nothing in the way. Jane Cannon says, there's a person sitting in this chair. No, there's an animal sitting in this chair who knows how to write a poem. I have to get out of the way. So those words that Focaccio spoke were not his to give, but it's not a flaw. It's an act of selfless gifting. In a critical sense, none of our words are ours. They pre-exist us, they pass on, they valve through us. Nobody owns the words. No wind is the king's wind. And one of the most misunderstood passages in all of modern poetry, Eliot's trying to explain what he does when he, in The Wasteland, he's speaking in other voices. And he says that he doesn't think of poetry as an expression of personality. He is most himself when he's letting things come through him, when he's not getting in the way and trying to be T.S. Eliot. So personality and ego are out of the way. He's like a medium or a channel. And for him, as for many people, poetry reminded him of how impossible it is to remain only oneself. We are as many selves as there are different situations to express ourselves in. Inner versus outer is not to the point. Not thinking is the point. Just delivery. So as I usually do, I'll give you a poem that I think shows this. It's by Rilke, and it's a translation that I got from one of my oldest teachers, an old German Jewish guy from Reitfeld. And then I've tried to make it, since his English wasn't that great, I tried to make it a little more apprehensible. It's called Nike. Nike is the goddess, the Greek goddess of victory. She's winged. As long as you're catching your own throws, it's all about skill and trivial gain. As long as you're catching your own throws, it's all about skill and trivial gain. Only when your hand has suddenly caught the ball that some vast female power threw right at your core in an arc that's an arch in God's vast dome. Only when your hand has suddenly caught the ball that some vast female power threw right at your core in an arc that's an arch in God's vast dome, then is your ability to catch a glory. Not yours, the world's. And if you should possess the strength and daring to return the shot, no, still more wonderful, if you forgot daring and strength and had already hurled the ball, as an old year throws flocks of migratory birds across the world, I'm going to go back to that because this is, he opens up a sentence here that just keeps opening up. If you should possess the strength and daring to return the shot, no, still more wonderful. If you forgot daring and strength and had already hurled the ball, as an old year throws flocks of migratory birds across the world that passing warmth tosses to youthful fire, then only in such risks your playing matters. Now you no longer after easy prizes, nor do you strain for what is hard and flatters your valor. Out of your hand flies the meteor and soars free into infinite space. So, now you no longer try for easy prizes, nor do you strain for what is hard and flatters your valor. Out of your hand flies the meteor and soars and free into infinite space. I give you this poem because it makes a distinction between what's generated by our ego and what's deeper in us. It also contrasts our head from our gut. Physiologically, intellect moves very slowly compared to our instincts. If we see a man wearing a ski mask come out of the shadows, we start running well before our brains even get a clue. When our child comes home full of great joy, our arms open for a big hug. Long before we say to ourselves, oh, my arms should open for a big hug. If we're saying to ourselves, my arms should open, it's already not that. So back to us. One of the things that we're doing here in the Zendo is going back to our pre-verbal biological selves. In breathing, we don't choose. Our lungs don't have a Hamlet-like confab with one another to decide it's time for more air or time to let go. In the great way of the lungs, there are no preferences. There's only breathing. Chow Chow roars and the old woman doesn't have to think. She roars with him. That's freedom. And that's Fuketsu sampling an ancient poet lore, love of spring. In Greece, people who recited poetry were called rhapsodes. They had mojo and knew things by heart. When a waitress brings a meal, there's only gratitude, or else it's all self-preoccupation. So, a monk asks Fuketsu in all earnestness, both speech and silence are concerned with Ri and me. How can we transcend them? Fuketsu said, I think constantly of Conan, which is a province in China. I think constantly of Conan in March, where partridges are chirping among hundreds of fragrant blossoms.
Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it.
I just realized that Nike commercial that was used for years, Just Do It, is it shows that you can commercialize that awareness and make millions out of it, and name your company after a goddess of victory, and make money out of that too.
Gonna have any introductions before we
sure
move on to tea?
Deborah, would you like to start?
I'm Deborah, and I'm going to shut off.